We now have much pleasure, dear brethren and sisters, in asking our brother Ron Dell to speak to us on the subject Studies in Luke's Gospel, which we've been considering together for a few weeks, and the particular subject is Poverty and Wealth. And so we have much pleasure in asking Brother Ron to come forward and speak to us on that subject. Brother Ron.
Dear brothers and sisters, in singing that song, I think I could have asked Brother to have written the exhortation, actually. I think it's all there in that song, isn't it? But anyway, that's just one of the benefits of having the same hymn book, so to speak. But I think it's worthwhile, for a few moments of our study, first of all, to cast our minds back, as our Brother David said this morning, and think about the living conditions of the majority of the people who were under Roman domination at the time of our Lord. Unless they had some land on which to grow food, which they could sell, or an employment, the average person had no income at all. There was no state pension. They were generally very poor and needy. Even those with such a trade, even Joseph as a carpenter, would have to pay taxes to the Roman state, leaving little to support himself and the family, and everyday existence was hard, with little or no prospect of relief. It was no surprise then that anyone holding out an opportunity of better and better and more secure life would attract attention. And this was the prevailing mood of the populace at the time of John the Baptist, followed, of course, by Jesus and his disciples later, and then the Apostle Paul's days, all offering a much better future. Bear in mind that with such a needy population, the Roman authorities were always on their guard because they were going to be heavily outnumbered by the populace anyway, and they'd be very much on their guard against anything which challenged their authority. And we know they were ruthless in imposing their rule. So having looked back just that little bit, I'm going to look at various Gospels, including Luke's this evening, so I'll read them for you and give you the quotations, but you no need to turn. Having set that scene, let's look at what Luke's gospel record tells us about poverty. At the time that Mary visited Elizabeth, the future mother of John the Baptist, she said, that's in Luke 1, verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant." So Mary was also of low estate, even though married to a skilled craftsman and able to earn a living. And Jesus, we read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7 and 80, Jesus made himself of no reputation, the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, as we know, even to the cross. So he had no high and mighty manners. He was a lowly man. And straightway we can see that Jesus identified himself with the poor, very much so. And we read in Luke 4, chapter 8, verse 18, reading from the prophecy of Isaiah and quoting it there, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, anybody in their poor situation hearing those words would say, "Tell me more, tell me more." And many of the people in Nazareth wanted Jesus to stay there. But he said in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." So he couldn't stay there in the comfort of those that were applauding him or listening to him. He had to spread out and go to other cities. And of course, once the Romans became aware of Jesus' purpose, they had more than enough reason to be on their guard. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 20 we read the beginning of what was been called the Sermon on the Mount. We know those so well. "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. There is, of course, a deeper meaning to Christ's words other than the obvious literal ones. He was referring to those who were poor in spirit of God, who hungered for it. Our Lord knew that eventually they would be filled with it in the kingdom, but not in his lifetime. He had a lifetime's work. When Jesus appointed 70 others, and we read about that in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, he said to them, "Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." In other words, not a kindly reception. "Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road." His disciples were to be poor in appearance, but rich in faithful preaching. In chapter 12, Luke says in verse 22, Jesus reassures his disciples about following his instructions when preaching. And he says, "I therefore say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." So the disciples, unencumbered with worldly goods and possessions, they could concentrate confidently on their missionary work. Jesus tells them in verse 33, "Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And Jesus emphasized this teaching when he was approached by a certain ruler. In chapter 18, we read verse 18. And the ruler asked him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 21. The ruler said that he kept the commandments all his life. So Jesus said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when he heard this, he became sorrowful, for he was very rich. We'll return to that chapter later when we speak about wealth. By contrast, in Luke 21, Jesus was in the temple, and he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts in the treasury, and he saw a certain poor widow putting in two mites, and these were very small copper coins. So he said, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for these," speaking about the others, "out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had." And much later, the Passover, Jesus said to them, "When I sent you without money bags, knapsack and sandals, did you lack anything?" They said, "Nothing." Illustrating the point that God provides those necessary things when we are about his business. Now to the subject of wealth. We sang about it, and there are so many references to it that wouldn't have time this evening to talk about all of them. But I'm sure we're not expected to make ourselves paupers by literally selling all our possessions and giving money to the poor. We know at the moment that's a bottomless pit, even in this country. No, we have a responsibility not to become a financial burden on each other. But we have the same responsibility to be generous in giving help to those in need. This doesn't only mean money and material things. No, we should willingly give of our time and talents in God's service. We all have something we can offer to the other. Society has recently rediscovered the benefits of actually talking face to face to people. What a surprise. The telephone, mobile telephones, television, newspapers all have their place, but none replace the personal contact, especially when trying to spread the gospel. So it's the misuse of wealth that the scriptures warn us about. Luke 6, verse 24. "Woe to you, you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." And it's that false sense of comfort that power and wealth sometimes brings to people. And they lose sight of the things that are of real importance. I often think of that very famous quotation. I'm sure you thought about it even before I said it. Matthew 16, verse 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, literally translating soul there is a rather difficult aspect to explain. But I'm sure if we were to transfer that word to faith, if we lose our faith, what have we got? Doesn't matter how rich, how powerful, how good you are, if you have no faith, you've lost everything. Of recent months, concerning the major bankers and their huge bonuses and our politicians, it's said they are out of touch with reality. That's the deadly price of wealth if they don't use it properly. The physical expression of wealth can be seen in luxurious homes, clothes, cars, and they can make us feel very good and perhaps even successful at times. But the scriptures warn us about feeling good about ourselves. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, wouldn't so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Back to that quotation in Luke chapter 18, verse 24. When Jesus saw that the ruler became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. So once again, the term riches can mean other than material gain. The words of old were rich in faith and works. These are the riches we should strive to accumulate, treasures in heaven that only increase in value when we strive to follow our Master's example. I think the very powerful parable of the rich man and his barn illustrates our total dependence on our Father in heaven. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my old barn and build a greater. There I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lay up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And if we look at the book of Proverbs, another wonderful source of help here, starting at chapter 13, it encapsulates so much of what we're going to say this evening. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. By pride comes nothing but strife, but the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labour will increase. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honoured. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, in the hearts of the people, in other words. So if you then, I'll turn to it myself, Proverbs 15. As I say, you no need to turn to it, I will read it for you. looking at verse 16 and 17. Better is a little fear, is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Just those small few words, you know, they say an abundance of things. And then you go on to verse 16. And again, chapter 16, verse 16 and 18. How much better to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. So, let's consider what those verses in our hymn this morning. It was hymn 42, if I remember right. Remember, we sang it this morning, Psalm 43. Yet to view the heavens, he, God, bends, yea, to the earth he condescends, passing by the rich and great for the low and desolate. He can raise the poor to stand with the princes of the land. Wealth upon the needy shower, set the meanest high in power. He has the broken spirit cheers, turns to joy the mourner's tears. Such the wonders are his ways. Praise his name for ever praise. But it was no coincidence then that the disciples told him to preach to the poor. They would receive his words willingly and hope for the day to come. Well, he knows, and we know, that he will come and they will enjoy a better life in this world. But we have to be strong and keep to the faith while we wait for him to come.